You don't need those, okay.
When I came in the front door up there, I said, I'm 79. Going 79 years old, can I ride the elevator up? And so I tried to qualify for that. And let's see now. Are there more teenagers coming in? How many teenagers? Let's see.
Yeah, we're still running behind yet.
Okay.
The buses are running a little bit late.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide which. I used to have only one message. I have two now. I have to decide which. No, there's 15 in that one. And so I'll put that one up here. By the way, I'm excited about being here today, and I've never seen such enthusiasm. I'm all over the country speaking. I've yet to meet your pastor's equal. He's got a vision. I'm going to say this in the morning service, too. Helen Keller, who was blind. How many knows who Helen Keller was? Blind? Someone asked Helen Keller one time, what could be worse than being blind? Listen, Pastor. Listen, church. And she said, having eyes but no vision.
Amen.
I'm telling you, your pastor has a vision here.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this church has a vision. I'd like to thank the church here. I'd like to thank every one of you who's helped this church grow and then put the pastor in where that he's got confidence in. He took me and showed me the land. I won't sell everything I've got and come just camp out down there. I started out seven of us in a one-bedroom house. I told someone back there a while ago, it was a one-bedroom house. No electricity, no running water, but we had an outhouse. We called it the outhouse. How many know what the outhouse is? Now God's given me a penthouse in Hawaii, and I like the penthouse better than I like the outhouse. But I haven't forgotten what I worked in the coal mine 7 years. I pray that you'll come back tonight. And the only thing I regret being here, I don't have you about a week. God has shown me some things about His Word that I'd love to see you get out of my mind. I have more success formulas than you know what to do with. And we serve a great God. You don't realize what family you got into when you got in God's family.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't know. That's like seeing the forest, but you can't see it for the trees.
Amen.
You just don't realize what God wants to do for you. When that first little baby was born in your family, and you looked at that little baby, boy, you thought, "What? I want to do that. I want the best for that baby. I want to have good clothes, good school. I want to have a good church and that." You know, that doesn't even compare a million times what God wants for you and I when we got born in His family. God has the same things for you and I. I've never said this before. At the opening, God has the same things for you that you and I have for our child. But unless a little baby cries, it doesn't get anything out of us. I never said that before. And you and I don't cry a lot to God. Huh? We don't get His attention. They say a tear is a rope that reaches to heaven that rings a bell that gets God's attention. Anyway, I thank you, Pastor, for letting me come. I think it's a great honor. I'm excited about what's going on here and so happy to be here. And who put those cookies in my room last night? Who put those peanut butter cookies? Now, someone brought them over there to get them. Who? What lady? Yeah? You put that? The guy brought it up there, though, to my room last night after you dropped me off. You made the peanut butter cookies? No, I'm talking about real peanut butter. Oh, I see the girl. But no, you try to take credit for it. Raise your hand up so the preacher can do it. I can be on a diet for 6 years, and you can take a spoonful of peanut butter and lead me all over this county, and I'll follow you. I like to take a big banana and peel it back and get you a teaspoon and dip this down and put it on a bite and eat that bite of banana. Or make a banana peanut butter and banana sandwich. Huh? I'm going to teach you how this millionaires live. I was in Hawaii, and I lived in Hawaii in the winter, the last 26 winters. See, when it starts snowing in Michigan, I live near Ann Arbor, Michigan, or 45 minutes north of Dayton, Toledo, and Toledo, Ohio. And so, but when God let me make some money, I started going 26 years ago to Waikiki Beach to do missionary work during the wintertime. When it starts snowing, the Holy Spirit leads me to go back. I go back over there, Pastor, and 4 months preaching, I get them to get clothes on. Then I come back here for 8 months and go back and got started all over again. So it's a continual ministry that I have. And so this December when the snow starts, I don't believe in Santa Claus, so I even go over there. Santa Claus. But I'm a happy man, happy because Lord Jesus Christ saved me. When I was 28 years old, my dad and mother never took me to church one time. And young people, you don't know, 7 car wrecks, turning and tumbling at 85 miles an hour, cutting my ear to my eye, my lip, and tongue, and chin. And one night, the police chased me through 3 counties shooting at me and never did hit me. They Boss Hogs deputies, I think. <Duke's>. Now, I would not want any young person to go through what I've been through with, because I never had dad and mother took me to church. Nobody ever come and called on me. And so, and told us about Jesus. Worked in the coal mine 6 years with 2 Baptist preachers, and everyone of them never did witness to me. And I want to keep every young teenager I can, I want to warn them. Listen to your preacher. Listen to your dad and mama. Don't disobey your dad and mama. Read in the paper, just I cut it out. I think I got it in here, but I'm going to look for it right now. Yesterday, 2 teenage girls got talking to somebody on the internet. Now, let me tell you young people right now. Got to talking to a man and said, we're thinking about running away from home. He said, I'll pick you up. And he picked these 2 girls up in Michigan and took them to, down in Toledo, somewhere down there. Took them to a school spot. I don't know, it was in a building or something like that. And mistreated them. You imagine what he did to them. He mistreated them. And then made them take all their clothes off and took pictures of them and did other things to them. And then they escaped. And then they flagged the bus down. Somebody called the police. And then they called their bad mom and they come and got them. Now, there's a wicked old world out there. And let me tell you something. You don't get on that computer. And dad and moms, you don't give them a computer. Let them get on that. You look at the man here, I've got one. But even when I watch it, I got that mute button in my hand. You can't fill your mind with stuff like that at nights and that, and then ask Jesus to guide and lead you during the day. He's a jealous God. He won't do that. And so let me tell you one story. I got to get on that, the message here. I think I'm going to know the way I'm going. I've got 15 here. And so, does anybody want to have lunch today? I'll just get it together. And so, but I heard a story once of a bartender that got saved. He had a parrot that said some 4-letter words. And so, he got active in church, and the pastor told him, said, I'm going to bring a couple of deacons, and we're going to come and fellowship with you Thursday night. And he's now pastor. I'd love to do it, but I got to warn you. Before I got saved, I had a parrot. He was in a bar and learned to say some 4-letter words. And said, I'm afraid to say something that embarrasses you. You better not come. He said, nah, we love the parrot. My wife get rid of me before she had the parrot. And said, they both talk a lot alike, you know. Talk a lot. And said, Pastor, that's what I've got a Christian parrot. And my he sings Christian, my parrot sings Christian songs. And so it's a female, but sings Christian songs. He said, we put them together in your cage, and I'm sure that my pastor, my parrot, will influence yours and show it needs to be changed its talk. He said, okay. So the pastor brought it over and then put that pastor's parrot in with that bartender's parrot. And so then that pastor's parrot began, said, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. And the bartender's pastor said, let's kiss, let's kiss, let's kiss. And the pastor's part said, praise God, my prayers have been answered. All right. Let me see. All right, open your Bibles, Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. By the way, if you want a book about my biography, I don't get a nickel out of it. I paid $35,000 to have this book 4 or 5 years ago. I got a case in my car. I'm going to give them to you. So you've got more. I'm just going to give them. And so I wish you would get it. I will sign it. I don't get a nickel out of this. And so I gave Dr. Howes' daughter $10,000 for writing it. And so and then I paid for all the books. And so I don't take any royalty. And I can get along with my Social Security check to where I don't need. I just want you to know, by the way, I pay my own way when I come, and the pastor tell you that I won't take any expenses, pay my own motel bill. Now, a preacher comes or somebody like that, not many people can afford what I do, but I love to do things for Jesus. And so Genesis chapter 37. Now, let me get things together here. I made up my mind, I think. And so, teenagers, let me ask you a question. Young people, what do you want out of life? What would you like God to do through your life? Now, first of all, I advise a lot of people. I've got a letter in here, Pastor, I wrote to Lord Jesus 40-some years ago. I write him letters all the time. See, if you put it in writing and tell him and then you're anxious, you've got it, you see. I'll tell you, you write down, young people, I dare you to do this. What I did when I first got saved, a 28-year-old man in Michigan, near Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Michigan. When I got saved, I went to the pastor and I said, I want you to pray with me that God will let me make some money to build churches, support missionaries, and schools. I had three or four men working in a drywall business. 9 months later, a builder went broke and broke me, and I was $2,000 debt. Now, I just come out of the bars a little year before that. God will put you, test usually teenagers, young people. Let me tell you something. God's going to put, and young people in here, businessmen, you want to be a man. God's going to put you through some trials and testing to see what you're made of before he blesses you. God don't want to bless a quitter and then get up and bring shame and reproach on his name. So you write God a letter and you tell him, I tell you, here's what I'd like to see. Young girl, you say, God, you pick out my husband. Young man, you pick out my wife. You tell me who I should date. You tell me who I should not date. And you write down, your God, everything you want to do, I dare you. It's changed your life. Amen. I wrote God a letter just the other day again and told him what I wanted to do and what I would do, if what he would do. Then, just like I told God this, if you let me make some money, then, boy, I wish I'd just park here. Then I will give you, I started out at 10% and 59, but 11 years later I was given 50%. I have not given under 50%, 70, 30, 39 years. I have not given under 50%. 1 year I gave $1.50 for every dollar I made. Try that for size. I got my wife's pocketbook. But now what do you want out of life? If you don't have a goal, you'll surely hit it. Little boy one time shooting at a moon. It was a BB gun. Another little boy come by and said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm shooting the moon. He said, you'll never hit it. He said, I'll come closer to it than you are. If you don't have a goal, you're surely going to hit. You're just going to drift around. If you go out on a beach and you watch the waves come in, this piece of wood drift in and out. That's what you're doing. I challenge you to do this one thing here. And somebody needs this because it's not in my notes what I'm saying so far. It's not anything to do with what I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you how to be happy, how to get things out of God. Then after you write everything down, you do it with a pencil and then hand God the eraser. Now you rub out anything you don't want. You give me the wisdom and knowledge to know your will. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good, and lead me in the land of uprightness. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. You see? Teach me. And that should be your prayer every morning. Let me give you a good success verse. Start the morning with, I love them that love me, that's a good one, too. But this one, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. Boy, isn't that good?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I want to shout. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide you with mine eye. Psalm 32:8. You ought to write that down and memorize that. God promised you and I that. I will instruct thee and teach you. You can't get a better deal than that. And if you can get God to guide you and lead you in the morning, you don't have to worry about the world. You don't, nobody can touch you. I often say, God and I make a majority. God and you make a majority. I got a message, just the title of one of my messages, and I approve it by David. Let me tell you how important it is, young people, to get God on your side. You all know the story, and I may preach it. I don't know what I'm going to do. But how that the whole children of Israel, all the army they had, God was with them. They was all hiding. Saul was hiding. They was all afraid of Goliath. And a little 17-year-old boy walked up and said, that don't look that very big to me. Well, I killed a lion, the bear, and did God let me kill that? Did God let me take care of that giant, old Saul? Saul said, boy, you just lad. He said, you just turn me loose and let me go. You watch me. You know the story. The stone went in his head, the sling. And so, and he went up and got his sword and cut his head off. God and David made a majority. A million of the Jews, the Israelites, they was afraid of him, and the Philistines, and one man there, because of one 17-year-old boy's faith in God, he whipped them all. That's what God can do to you, young person, or men, ladies, men. That's what God can do to you. If you get God on your side, nobody can touch you. I became the largest property owner in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Imagine a boy from Kentucky, never went to college a day in his life. Only way I got out of kindergarten, I stayed in there so long I refused to shave. Now, and it didn't reflect on my ignorance, it reflected upon the teacher's ability to teach me. I just got started at the bottom, and I kind of like it there. You imagine a man from Kentucky, with coal mines, never known anything but work, never went to college a day in life, never had to come from a business family. There's no human explanation for you except God. Went to, got saved, and then just started applying the principles and the promises of God. I dare you to check all the promises out and claim them. And started doing that and became the largest property owner, the largest taxpayer, the largest building supplier, the largest drywall subcontractor, and the richest. And so, boy, I tell you. Now, blessed be God. Let's look at Genesis 37. I tell you, what time am I going to quit, Pastor? 20. Oh, huh?
It'll be two bells.
Two bells?
Yeah.
One and 30 minutes later, another. But I tell you, your pastor and his vision and the people there, you got me all stirred up. So,
amen.
Shook up, I think. Thank you, everyone. Oh, okay, Genesis 37. Now, let me try to help the young people this morning. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, the land of Canaan. These are the generation of Jacob. Joseph being how old?
17.
Oh, Joseph's only 17 years old. What can God do with a 17-year-old? I told you I did with David, 17.
Yeah.
Huh? And if he can use a teenager, us adults ought to be in on that too, don't you think?
Amen.
Huh? Huh? See, my Bible said God no respecter persons.
Yeah.
My Bible says he God just didn't use you and I as laymen as he has a pastor. And also the Bible teaches us, you and I can't not get rewards out of what he does. We have to earn them ourselves.
Amen.
You're on my payroll, you got to earn my paycheck.
Yeah.
And same thing with God. And so Joseph had been 17 years old, and he was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with his sons of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil reports. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all the children because he was a son of old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And his brethren saw that their father loved him more. That was a mistake of Jacob. Loved him more than his brethren. They hated him, and he could not speak peaceful unto them. I have one daughter that made straight A's through grade school, high school, college, 4 years of college, and a master's degree. But I did not treat her any better than I treated others. You cannot look at one and make all of them measure up to her. They made A's and B's, but now I love them. What I do for one, I do for the other. And so, but he made a difference. And so Jacob dreamed a dream. I've got to tell you some story now. Jacob dreamed a dream. He said to his brothers, they had hated him and they had jealous of him. Some of these days you're going to bow down and worship me. Boy, they got mad, man. They didn't like that. Next night he said, I got up and he said, Daddy, you and Mama's going to do it to us on these days. And they did do it over chapter 48 when they needed something to eat.
Yeah.
And when they come out of this, they did bow down to him. And so it did come to pass. But then his daddy told his sons, I'm going to tell you some of the story. And I want you to take the sheep and the cattle. I want you to go somewhere and graze. A few days later, he told David, I want you to take them some food. Go down and see how they're done. Give me a report. They saw Joseph coming. They saw Joseph coming, that coat of many colors. Let's kill. Here's come that dreamer boy. Let's kill him. We're going to bow down and worship him someday. Let's just kill him. We kill an animal. We put some blood on it. We take the whole coat back to Daddy and said, look, we found this coat. Is this Joseph's coat? And so they schemed that. And so when Joseph come, they got him, and then they put him in a pit. I don't have time to trust my mind. I'm going to skip some of that. They put him down in a pit long enough till one of his brothers got him out and sold him to a caravan of people going towards Egypt. And then we got down there, and Potiphar, someone in the army of Pharaoh, name of Potiphar, bought Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Now we're going to take up the story in chapter 39. Now follow me. I've got to go real fast. And so don't go to sleep on me. I wish that I had time to teach you what God has put in this mind. I wish that you could grasp it. But may I tell you, there's a price to pay for it. Okay. Now, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now, look here. See, they sold him to Potiphar. And officers of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, the Egyptian, brought him into the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And so, may I remind you, young people, let me tell you something. Joseph was 17 years old, and at this time, I think he was about 500 miles from home. His dad and mom wasn't with him. His priest wasn't with him. He lived in the house of an idolater that did not believe in God, yet he lived a Christian life. Amen. Don't think that you've got it so tough. Don't think that you're the only one. He lived for God, although he's away from dad and mama. No one to talk to. Not another Christian. No fellowship. And now let me show you the secret. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a what? Now that tells me, beloved. Now, young teenager, let me tell you. And ladies, all everyone in here, let me tell you. That means if God is with you and I, we're going to be prosperous. If we walk with God, he'll walk with us. And if you're in here and you're not prosperous, whose fault is it? Is it God's? If we seek to please him, then we're going to. If you're not prosperous, don't blame God for your mistakes. How much time you spend in this book? Huh? You know, minimum 3 hours a day. Of course, I don't have 70, 80, 100 men and seven businesses to keep up with, but I did an hour and two every day. My daughter wrote me a note about a year ago and said, Dad, I told him in the office today where I worked, I never remember a morning that I got up to go to school that in your office the light was on and using our praying and begging God for wisdom to run those businesses. I wish I had time to preach you that message. Tell you what God did by rising early morning. Let me give you another success first. Just stop here. I may preach on this now. I love them that love me. Boy, this is hard to remember now. I love them that love me. Can you say that? Say it. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? You don't have to be a college graduate to understand that. What God says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me after lunch, 10 o'clock, not 4:30 or 5 in the morning, like I'm on my face and my face buried in carpet begging God. That's a success. Teenagers, you don't be successful? Young couples, you don't be successful? Let me tell you something. I had my family to look over, Pastor. It's not too late for some young couples at the time. Tomorrow morning, you all eat breakfast together. If the kids, if dad has to go to work 4 o'clock, 5, maybe an exception to that. But he ought to do this. You gather the kids together and say, now look, see this food here? If you're eating cereal, whatever you want, you're not going to have any physical food until you get some spiritual food. Now your Bibles is here, Johnny. You read 3 verses. Susie, you read 4 or 5. This. All you read some verses. Then you show them this verse here. I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Guess what they will teach their children when they become adults? You give them spiritual food. You see, if we're going to walk right, I will instruct thee, teach thee, and guide thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I'll guide you in mind. If we're going to have that, we've got to meet God in the morning. Amen. Huh? Boy, ain't that good? Amen. Huh? And so, now, Joseph, let me get back on track here. Joseph was a. I give you some success verses. All right, Joseph, the Lord was in with a prosperous man. Now look here, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Hey, do you know when you get a job, young people? You know that if you'll be different on the job, if you'll dress right, if you wear your blouses up here right where you're supposed to be, if you wear your dresses down to your knees, I said dresses too, and you don't wear any slits up to your thigh. You know your boss will kind of notice you're different. Huh? And so, his boy, look, his master saw the Lord was with him. Huh? I wish I'd park here and tell you, a girl got a Cadillac, got $3,000 on me one. Because what she did, she's smart. And so his master saw, and I tell you a story how a teenage girl got a Cadillac out of me, too. I may tell it tonight. I don't know. And it's not what you think either. I like to have you dangling there just a little bit, the question. And his master saw, verse 3, now listen, it. Master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made him do that he was to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, all he had put in his hand. It came to pass from time to time that he made him overseer in his house and all he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake, and blessing the Lord was upon all he had in the house of the field. And now look here, verse 6. He left all he had in Joseph's hand and knew not he had, save the bread which he did eat. Does this think, man, I'm Baptist, my head to the bottom of my feet, but my bottom of feet, it gets Pentecostal sometime. I'm going to go to this here. Okay? I got to move a little bit. So, testing. Can you hear me? Testing. Can you hear me? All right. Now I want to show you something here. Leave my outline and everything. I'll just come down here. Now I'm going to show you something. Verse 39. And his master saw the Lord was, verse 3, was with him, and all the Lord did imagine. So therefore, now look. Joseph's in a pit, he didn't cry.
Right.
Now he's going to get promoted to a position because he lived for God. Right. You want a promotion? Man, you want a promotion on the job? You live different.
Amen.
You live with God. You let God take control. You let God have this mind.
Yes.
And so you let God control this mind. He'll give you the wisdom where, well, I'm just a number of so many employees. They know who I am. You get God's mind in your mind. Let this mind be in you. If I came and knocked on your door, it's up to you to let me in. Now, let this mind be in you. It's something you got to let come in. It's on purpose, not accidental.
Right.
You see? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so, therefore, if you think in God's mind, let me give you a quick illustration. Daniel chapter 2, the old king had a dream, and all of his wise men and all that. Nobody is a magician. Nobody could interpret the dream. He said, tell me what the dream is. We tell it. I forgot what the dream is. They said, there's no man on earth can do that now, king. Come on, be reasonable now. You dream a dream, don't tell us how we help you. He said, you just biding time. You don't tell me the dream to find the interpreter. I'm going to kill every one of you, all you wise men. They went to get Daniel. He said, what's the rush about killing? He said, hey, give me just 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And so he went and got 3 of his buddies and prayed, and God revealed it, his dream to Daniel. And Daniel told him his dream and got a promotion. And Daniel said this, there's no man on earth can tell you this, king, but there is a God in heaven.
Yes, sir.
There is a God in heaven. If you put God first, if you get God first, young teenager, there is a God in heaven that will give him his mind, and they'll notice that you're different, and you go up the ladder.
Amen.
I've put a lot of people up the ladder. Then they forgot who I was. I met them coming back down then. That's exactly what God does to us. He puts us up the ladder, and you forget God. He knows how to bring you back down the ladder, brother.
Yes, amen.
Now, Joseph, here he was in a pit, and now here's what he said in verse 6. And so, and he left all he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. Now, I don't hardly understand that, but let me give you an illustration here. I've had 3 melanoma operations. I have to kind of cover up, and 4 or 5 basal cells cut out of me. And so, and out of my hand and arm. So, hey, all of you work for me. I had Joseph come to work for me. And I want to go to Hawaii during the winter. I call him in, and I tell Joseph, I said, now, so I tell him again, he turned all he had. You imagine how much money I had to collect every month, 457 house apartments. Multi-million-dollar contracts and drywall subcontract, building houses, apartments, huh? Big trucks, put material 4 stories high. I was first in the county of Ann Arbor, Michigan, Washington County had those. I made a barrel full of money. Imagine, I'm going to turn it all to a 17-year-old boy. I'm going to say, hey, you're going to take all this to the bank now. Wow. I'm going to Hawaii in the winter. By the way, after you get your work all done, and come Friday night or Saturday, everything running smooth. Here's the keys, three or four, Corvette, Lamborghini convertible, trucks down here. The girls love to see this. You got the picture of that one Corvette. I'll just show you the picture. I give them all the Lord's work now. One truck, you walk up to it, look at it, won all the awards, been on all the national television, press a little button, the driver's door come up like this. Get in, press another button, that door come, get another press up, the hood flip flops, it's mirroring on there, you can comb your hair if you got hair. Press another button, the bed raises, and that tunnel cover goes 6 feet in there. Shut it all down, turn the computer on, the computer does the same thing. I don't know why I told you that. Hey, Joseph. I said, Joseph, you can have this truck and go down and pray in these shopping centers and raise that. You get any girl you want. Now, Joe, I'm going to pull her $30,000 Rolex here. Normally, I don't have time. I bring a 17-year-old boy up and let him put this watch on the rings. And I said, here, see, the girls likes diamonds. Boy, you can get that sport car and that. Just name the girl, boy. I'll tell you, they'll wave at you. Then, hey, I got all of you together now. Then he said, look what he said in verse 6 now, again. Boy, ain't God good. Look, verse Genesis 39. And he left all he had in Joseph's hand. You know what he had? Tell you the bread we did to eat. Joseph was a good person. Now, all you men, all you ladies in here that worked for him, you got keys in my office. You got charge of cards, my credit cards, keys in my truck, keys in my office. I want to pass a hat, won't you? Everybody put their credit cards. Everybody put your credit cards and your keys to my truck, all my equipment in there. Your new boss, I'll say you're 17. Come here. Here's your new boss. I say you're 17. How old are you?
18.
18? Oh, yeah, Lord. Here's your new boss. You know what you would say? What? I worked for you for 30 years, and I got the boss. He's a big cheese, buddy. See, he's got a position now. I gave him a position. He's going to be over all my businesses, and if you get another truck to drive, you got to please him. Just don't make sense, does it? That's what God did. Look what he did. He turned all the other. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's what he did. So he passed out, put him in there. Then, now, he lived for God. He lived for God. And I have to hurry up. I've got 10 minutes. The bell hasn't rung yet. Go ahead. And so, I was getting ready this morning, taking my time. 9:30 is going to pick me up. He called me 8:45. So I'll be there at 9. I said, you said 9:30. I said, 9. I said, I'll be ready. Okay. The only thing that may hold me up is my hair. If I can get my hair fixed. I see funny and everything. There's three ways of wearing your hair. Parted, unparted, or departed. And now, then, look at 7. Let me tell you, man, when you start making money and people sees it and knows it, don't you think the devil's not going to have some women flirt with you? They like to get on that bank account? Huh? Don't you like to see? Let me warn you right now. There's women. The old devil sees that some beautiful chick comes by all dressed up and your wife home slaving and taking care of the kids and diapering them and feeding and cooking and washing your clothes. And you go in at night and she don't look like that. The old devil's going to say, hey, why don't you trade her in? Huh? Let me tell you, temptation's going to come. You know what? I know. I had pulled a picture of my wife out less than a year ago. I'm sitting in a cab right there. My wife's a beautiful woman. I had pulled a picture out, and I showed it to her. I said, why should I stop with hot dog with you when I got a steak waiting on me at the house?
Amen.
I said, now look, you're too close. Don't you get that close to me no more. I'll shake your hand. And travel. Now, don't you tell me that, listen, and same thing for you men, you ladies. You see some men, or maybe where you're working, a nice suit on and a clothes, I can say, how about trading my husband in? Let me tell you, it will happen. You get a taste of success, and you watch the old devil tempt you. Yeah. By the way, you don't have to be successful to do that. You don't have to have a lot of money. That happens all day anyway.
Yes.
And so it came to pass after these things at verse 7. After the master's wife saw her eyes, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Let's commit a sin, she said. Come on, Joseph said, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? And so, as this morning, old devil, now the Bible says this, and you do well know it. When we get saved, everything I've ever done, all those car wrecks and... Is that a bell? Huh? First one? I said the first 28 years of my life, it was wine, women, and song. The last 50 years of Metrical, the same old gal, and Jesus all day long.
Amen.
Hey, now, here's your wife tried to get him to go to bed with her. Said, I can't do this wicked thing. So, hey, wait a minute. He was in a pit. Joe's in a pit. Then he went to prison. No, in a pit. And then he had a position. He's a co-foreman. And then he went put in the prison. I told you on the way to success up to that there's a lot of offers the old devil's going to do. Then, I have to tell you this right fast, but then in prison, God was with him. It says that God was with him in prison.
Yes.
And he became the ruler of the prison.
Yeah.
One morning the wife came up and said to the guy who was the prisoner, honey, you better get up and go to bed. You're going to lose your job. Oh, he said, listen, honey. He said, just take it easy. He said, there's a little Jewish boy in that over there. He's got that prison run so smooth. Wake me up at 8 o'clock, and then I'm going to get up, and you're not going to watch I Love Lucy on television. he said, that boy, I tell you, he's got it going. And in prison, and two guys had a dream, Baker and a butler, and he interpreted one dream. Hey, tomorrow, 3 days, God's going to restore you. And I always forget which one got killed. I think the butler got killed, I think. Anyway, he said, he's going to restore you in 3 days. And then the other man said, he's going to cut your head off and feed you to the birds. It happened. Then he said, now when you go back, Joseph, when you go back to the king, you tell him, restore, I was put in here wrong. And the king said, and see, 2 years passed by.
Yep.
I have to tell you the story. 2 years passed by. And he did not tell the king about Joseph's church. Right. Then he had a dream nobody didn't interpret. Hey, I remember there's a man in the prison. They went over and got him, shaved him, that, put him a heart Sheffner marks, a J.C. Penney suit on him. And so brought him before the king. He interpreted the king's dream. And they said, here's what you better do. There's a famine coming now. I'm skipping a lot. But there's a famine coming. You better build big buildings and put a lot of food up. By the way, I tell you, you better do that too. You would get you a lot of pinto beans, I'll tell you that. And a fried sack of potatoes and pinto beans and a can of lard and some meal and flour, and you can live for, a month on that. Years. And so now you better put that. He said, you better find somebody smart enough to do it. He said, can we find such a man as this? And then he got a promotion. He took his ring. He took his ring off. And he put it on Joseph's hand. And he said, there's nobody in here no smarter than you are, buddy. And he got he was in a pit. Then he got a position. Then he went to prison. Now I'm going to promote you to the palace.
Amen.
He ended up to the palace, second in command to God. Now I ask you a question in closing. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? You going to go after wisdom? You going to put God first? You going to write God a letter, young people? If I could live, probably God would not let me live another 25 years. I'd be looking back here if the church is still here, if I had another 25 years. I could see some of you young girls with husbands, some of you young men with wives and with babies. And I'll see that if you listen to what I told you this morning. You're going to answer to God, young adults too.
Amen.
It's not too late. God used a lot of people to wait. I'm going to 79 years old, and I would believe that God's going to do something bigger in my life than he's ever done before.
Amen.
I was studying this morning, boy, I got happy, and I said, the old devil reminded me of every mean thing I ever did. As I started that a while ago, when we are saved, God forgives us everything. But the old devil reminds us every day. You know what? You know that? I could meet God right now and say, God, I'm sorry tonight we was out drinking. Is that it?
Yep.
We was out drinking and had that car wreck. God, look my record out. My record just like that in hell. Why, Russ, I don't see anything like that on my record.
Amen.
But the old devil reminds us of everything we ever did. There's a price to pay on sin. I can see the scars. God, forgive me. I can still see the scars. The old devil reminded me of that this morning. God gave me an outline for a sermon. This morning I got happy and wrote down right fast. I run to the window. I said, "Yo, devil, you look here! What God gave me? Your price is too high. God gave me this. Oh, devil, let me tell you something. You remind me of my past. You got to talk to the devil." I said, "You remind me of my past. Let me tell you where your future is. Hey, learn to talk to him. God's going to get you and throw you down in the hell when he's there and burn your hide up. Now you go back to hell. I'm going to serve God."
Amen. Amen.
Now, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Right. Up to you.
Amen.
I'm through.
Don't have a presentation. Myself.